Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rather dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Hi, I'm Pastor Tom Bruchet of Grace Bible Church. And last week we were talking and going over some Bible facts about creation and dinosaurs. And we didn't really get too much into the dinosaurs. We made a little indication there in Genesis where God talks about that He created great fish in the sea and great whales in the sea, that there is a potential there that there's some pretty big animals in the sea. And as we continue on today, you'll realize that the Bible is not ignorant of the fact of dinosaurs, and it does say some things about it. But I'm not trying to convince you whether there's dinosaurs or not. What I want you to understand is the creation that God has made is to give Him glory, to show His greatness. And when you study science, and when you study space, and you study oceanography, and you study dinosaurs in history or anything like that, all of it should point us to God and realize the greatness of His creation. But men seem to take those very things and turn around and say that God doesn't exist and use science to disprove God and to say that the Bible is wrong. And the Bible's not wrong. Jesus Christ Himself believed in the Bible. He believed in Adam and Eve. He believed in creation. And He believed that creation, and up to His day, that He was only living 4,000 years from the time that Adam was placed on the earth. And we looked at that last time, and you're behind if you missed that one. And we're continuing on that, but we're asking the question. We went back and we looked at some Bible facts about how God created a mature working and a mature looking universe. Trees with fruit on them and seeds in the fruit already, as soon as they were created. Grass that was tall enough for animals to eat as soon as it was created. Animals that were old enough to reproduce soon as they were created. Adam and Eve themselves having the appearance of 33-year-old people in the prime of their life, doing the job that God said that they were to do and to multiply and replenish the earth. And all of that shows why it is that we have a universe that sometimes people date very old. They date fossil records to be millions of years old, but they also look into the stars and say they were there billions of years. But we saw on the fourth day of creation that God also created their light to shine on the earth in one 24-hour period. The planets were already out there, the stars were out there, but God created their light to appear on earth and to begin their timing of days and nights and seasons on the earth. So everything has an appearance of age, but Jesus Christ said it's not old. And the Bible told us here in 2 Peter chapter 3 concerning men who are saying that nothing ever changes, that everything is continuing the way it was, and that Jesus Christ is never coming back. The Bible says that for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. The Bible says the heavens were of old. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water. A peculiar phrase that we'll learn more about as we look at the Genesis account of creation again today and learn more facts about creation. And it says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Speaking about the time of Noah. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, the word of God, are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. These verses say that men are willingly ignorant of two great facts that's going to cause them to fall into the judgment of God. They're ignorant of the fact that God created this world, And then they're ignorant of the fact that there was a great flood that took place on this earth. And because they're ignorant of those two facts, they look at things scientifically and come up with the wrong conclusions. The Bible has given us some facts that if you would consider, then you'd realize how the Bible could help straighten out science and put science on the right track. And the ultimate end would be to glorify God. And that's what we want to accomplish today. We talked last time about facts about creation, and we showed things about how they were created. Everything was created mature, looking, and working. But we talked about animals created and man created from the very beginning as vegetarians. We also saw the fact that man and animals lived a great long time before the flood. 969 years old is the longest recorded man who ever lived, and it's Methuselah in the Bible. And up until the flood, man and animals lived an awful long time. But the flood came, and that's another thing you cannot be ignorant of. The flood of man, the flood where God judged man because of his unwillingness to be thankful to God. When he knew God, he did not give God glory. And as a result, they turned to their wickedness, and God judged this world. And that flood came. And that flood changed some things. Man thinks nothing ever changed. That's because he don't believe in the flood. That flood changed a great deal of things, and it's going to affect how we understand creation, and it'll affect how we understand dinosaurs as well. If you go back to Genesis chapter 11, we come on the other side of the flood. The flood in your Bible is recorded in Genesis 6 to Genesis 9, and after Genesis 9, you come to Genesis 10 and 11, and you got the history of man continuing on the other side of the flood. And in Genesis chapter 11, verses 10, well, even to the end of the chapter, but down at least to verse 25, there is the genealogy of Noah's son, Shem, and the sons that were born to him. And if you'll read that passage from verse 10 to 23 of Genesis 11, you'll realize that longevity has vanished. Shem, after he got off the ark, lived 400 years. But it's not long that he has a son, and his son only lives a shorter period of time. And as you go look through the record, you'll see that man, after the flood, immediately diminished his age span. It went from 400 years to in just about five or six generations down to just over 100 years old was the length of man's life. The flood changed some things, and one of the things that changed was longevity. The flood also changed other things. If you look at Genesis chapter 9 and look at verse 3, Noah gets off the ark and God changes his diet. This is important to know. He says that every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. And what God instructs Noah to do when he got off the ark, that there's new part of his diet. He can now be carnivorous. He can eat meat. He's a flesh eater. He can hunt animals and kill animals. He can't eat them in its blood. You got to drain the blood. And then he can eat the meat of an animal that he catches. And in fact, it's not just man. Animals themselves now become carnivorous. Certain animals are now going to eat men, and therefore God puts a fear of man in animals so that man does not become extinct. And so the animals run from man, and here Noah and his family have to go out hunting and to kill an animal to eat it themselves, but they got to also be careful that the animal don't hunt them down first and kill them. That's a big change, because before the flood they were vegetarian. Now keep that in mind. But I also want you to realize that climate changed. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, "And it came to pass, when I shall bring a cloud over the earth, that a bow shall be seen in the cloud." And this is where God makes a covenant with Noah that when it begins to rain again, and you see the cloud come over the earth and the rain begins to fall, don't be afraid. It's not going to destroy the earth. We're not going to flood the earth again with water. And the reason he has to make that covenant with Noah, if you have a Bible there, look back at Genesis chapter 2, and you'll realize that before the flood, it never rained. They didn't know what rain was. Genesis chapter 2 in the original creation, in verse 5 and 6, we read this about animal life or about vegetarian life and how it was taken care of by God. It says in verse 5, "And every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." When God first put plant life on the earth, he created a system of watering it, a mist coming up out of the ground, watering a plant from its roots, which would make a plant grow awful tall. They do that today, and they get all kinds of results of making our vegetables twice and three times the size of what they normally would if they watered them and placed them in the ground and watered them from the top. And here's water coming up from the roots and watering a plant. And it didn't rain. But after the flood, now it's going to rain. So God gives Noah a sign of a bow in the cloud so that they would realize that when it begins to rain, this isn't God's judgment again. He's not angry. He's never going to flood the whole earth and destroy all living things with water again. The Bible says he will judge it again, but he'll judge it with fire. But there's a promise here, and I want you to realize when Noah got off the ark, now raining is part of the climate. Climate has changed. You know, before the flood came, there's an indication in the Bible that there was like a canopy over the earth. If you look back in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm not exactly sure how this works, but it's part of the verse that's in Peter. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Remember Peter said, the earth standing in the water and out of the water. So the earth stands in the water. We have water around the earth, and the land is lifted out of that water. But there's also water above the earth. It's in and out of the water. And this verse explains that. It calls it that God took and divided the waters, and it says, "And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." That on the second day of creation, God, when he created land, he was water off the land, but there was water above the land, above the heavens, or at least in the heavens, according to these verses. Which then we realize that if there was a water canopy that surrounded the earth, that it's very possible that when this earth was first created, it had a greenhouse effect to it. That the North Pole and the South Pole had grass growing in it. And you know, scientists have found in the northern North Pole and in the South Pole, they have found animals frozen in ice with grass in their mouth, and they were frozen so quickly and so solidly that the animal's flesh was still on its bones and the grass was still there in its mouth without decaying. How come there were animals up in those areas? Well, the Bible seems to have the answer for those things. And when Noah, when God flooded this world, earth with water, in the days of Noah, where did all that water come from? Well, the Bible says that God opened the windows of heaven and he brought waters up from underneath the ground and covered this earth with water in the days of Noah. And so therefore, God took that canopy that was before the flood and he poured it out of the heavens down on the earth. But at the same time, took the waters that were circulating under the ground, watering those plants, and opened them up and broke them forth on the earth. And not only did it change the climate after the flood, it changed geography after the flood. Things look different. But it also explains to us how we find fossils in the rocks and how certain fossils who should be on top are really on the bottom. And it shows that the whole earth was just all mixed up one time. And the Bible gives the account of the flood, and the flood would account for how scientists, if they would study their science and the fossil record and all the rest, it would help them to understand why they find it the way they do, why they find animals where they are. And it would help them actually date the earth and realize why things look old when they're not really that old. And by the way, there are other dating methods that would tell scientists the earth is young. And they realize why they come up with a young earth under those dating records because of the record that the Bible gives us. So the climate changed, and there was a canopy upon the earth, and the waters of heaven spilled down upon the earth and changed the geography of the earth as well. Then I want you to realize in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 19, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 19, it says that when Noah put the animals on the ark, he took two of every, it says, "And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark, and keep them alive with thee. Thou shalt, they shall be male and female. The fowls after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive." Now, for those Bible scholars, I'm aware that he took seven of the clean animals. But God made sure to preserve all the kinds that Noah took every kind, two of every kind. And what I want to point out to you, if that is true, and dinosaurs are real, then Noah took two dinosaurs when he went on that ark. Because God instructed him to take two of every kind. And so I believe that since I do believe there were dinosaurs, that when Noah went on that ark, he took two of every kind. And if he took two of every kind, that means a species cannot develop outside of its kind. Now, he didn't bring two of every kind of dog, and he didn't bring two of every kind of human being. Human beings have bred from Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. We have all the variety of human species. But there's all varieties of dogs and all varieties of cats and all kinds of other species, but Noah took two of each kind. And the reason he had to take two of each kind, there's no such thing as evolution, evolving into a different kind. There's just an evolution within a kind of different species within a kind, different kinds of people, different kinds of animals, of dogs, of cats, and so forth. But so Noah had to take two of each, and if he did that, he took two of each kind of dinosaur as well. And you say, oh, well, that would be impossible. Now stop and think. If he had to do that, wouldn't he take babies? Certainly he wouldn't take a huge dinosaur on the ark, and he would take babies for all kinds of reasons. First of all, he would take babies because they would be the easiest to handle on the ark. They would eat less, they would sleep more, and the whole purpose of taking two is so that when you got off the ark, they would breed, and they would live long enough to breed and repopulate their kind. And so therefore he would take young animals that would live a long time after they got off the ark. So then I believe that Noah would have then took dinosaurs on the ark. Is there a mention of dinosaurs in the Bible? Yes, there is. I want you to see this. Come with me to Job chapter 40. Job's one of the oldest books of the Bible. He lived after the flood because his record is left behind for us. And he experienced some real hard times in life. He experienced the loss of his children, the loss of his home, the loss of all his finances, the loss of his own health. His wife turned against him, and his three friends came to comfort him, and all they ended up doing is telling him that he's some terrific kind of sinner for this to have happened to him. And God took Job after his friends failed to comfort him, and Job began to complain and said, you know, I wish God was a man, he would stand here, and he would tell me why he's doing all these things to me. And Job opened his mouth once too often, because the last four chapters of the book of Job, God came and talked to him. And you know, in these last four chapters, God asked Job 84 questions. And it's an interesting fact that Job couldn't answer one question that God asked him. And at the same time, God never answered one of Job's questions either. Because what God was doing with Job is he was showing the greatness of who he is and how Job had no right to question God and what God was doing. All he had was to realize is that in the creation that God had made, that God was great and that God was wonderful and that you can trust the God who created all things, that he had a purpose and a plan for us, and you can trust him for those things. And in Job, in answering some of God's questions, God asked Job some things, and he says this statement in Job chapter 40 in verse 15. It says, "Behold now Behemoth, which I have made with thee." Talking about creation. And he says that he made Behemoth when he made Job. You know, man and animals were created on the same day. He said, "Behold, Behemoth, which I have made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in his navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinew of his bones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron." Sounds like a big creature. Listen to this. "He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make him his sword to approach unto him." What God says, that he is the chief of his creation. You know what God is saying to Job? He says, look at Behemoth. And what he's pointing out to Job is the biggest creature that God made that Job could see. And you know, I believe that Job could actually turn and look at a Brachiosaurus, bigger than a Brontosaurus. The biggest creation that God made, Job could look at that, because the last thing God said is, "He that made him can bring a sword to approach unto him." Job, you look at that creature, you look how big he is, remember, I'm bigger than him, I created him. And all of a sudden, Job begins to remember the God in whom he worships and how big that God is and how he ought to be careful rather than questioning what God's doing and why he's doing it and whether God even exists and where is he at and how come he's not helping me. Job realizes that he's standing in the presence of the glory of God, and that God, when he points out his creation, Job can only look at that creation and realize that God is great, God is big, and he is to be feared. Because not only does Job look at something that would be that we would look at as a brachiosaurus, but the next thing God does is he tells Job to look into the sea about another creature. And you read about it in Job chapter 41. He says, "Can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook in his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make his supplication unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee?" He's talking about going fishing, and there's an animal in the sea that there's no way Job could ever catch this animal. He's so big, and this animal would never look at man as nothing but puny, and that he would just wipe man out if he came across a man. Verse 4 says, "Will he make a covenant with thee, or wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird? Will thou bind him as for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him?" You're going to be able to eat this creature? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle and do no more." In other words, you put your hand out there, you'll never do anything else. This animal will take your hand. "Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me?" And God points out this creature, and later on he's going to call him Leviathan. And as you read down in verse 19, it says, "Out of his mouth goeth burning lamps of coals, of fire leapeth out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, out of a seething pot or cauldron. The breath of kindleth coals, and flame goeth out of his mouth." As you read down through here, you find out this guy is a fire-breathing dragon. We call him a dragon. But this is some kind of a sea creature that scales are so hard that you can't pierce it with a spear, that you would dread this creature. But I remind you what God said to Job in verse 10. If he's so big that no one would dare stir him up, they would try to avoid this creature that's in the sea. God asked the question, "Who then is able to stand before me?" And you know, out of all the creatures that exist on this earth, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To fear God, who created all these beings, they show God in his greatness. They show God in his power. And God can take this animal and destroy this animal. But you know, these animals describe to what Job saw in his day, what we would call as dinosaurs that existed in Job's day. And I actually believe that they were indeed dinosaurs. And Job learned from this about the creation of God and to fear God. So what happened then to the dinosaurs? Well, we learned some things about creation in the Bible, facts about creation and facts about dinosaurs. And one of the things that we know is that when they came off the ark, they did not continue to multiply abundantly after the flood. Now we know that because they went extinct in our day. Remember some of the facts that we learned. Climate changed. And you know, dinosaurs are reptiles. They live in warm climates and swampland, and not all the earth was warm climate and swampland anymore. Climate change would certainly kill many of the dinosaurs that came even off the ark and slowed up their reproduction after they came off the ark. We also learned that longevity was shortened. Man's lifespan was shortened, but so were dinosaur lifespan shortened. And you know, a dinosaur is a lizard, and a lizard continues to grow all his life. And when man lived 900 and something years old, man didn't continue to grow. But a lizard would continue to grow and they would come huge in size. But after the ark, with a shorter lifespan, they would grow, but they wouldn't grow as big because they wouldn't live as long. And so dinosaurs weren't getting as big afterwards either. But we also remember that man and animals became carnivorous, man-eaters. Some dinosaurs were killed by other dinosaurs. Some dinosaurs were hunted down and killed by man. And you know, when you read chapter 41 of Job, you know, we say there's no such things as dragons, but you know, there's dragons in every culture of every society. The Chinese, the Chinese people, their symbol is a dragon. Every culture believed in dragons and believed that their ancestors used to go out and kill dragons. And dragons apparently were dinosaurs. And man went out and killed dinosaurs, but other animals went out and killed dinosaurs, and that also brought to their extinction. We have it in our own day today when you consider these things. Where are the lions in America? They're in the zoos. They don't run free anymore. No such things. Snakes are decreasing in their population. Buffaloes were almost extinct, except for man now goes around to try to preserve buffaloes. But if man didn't try to preserve them, buffaloes would be extinct. Just like the alligators down in Florida, that they have laws, you can only hunt so many and you have to have a license, and the poachers they're worried about are going to make the alligator population extinct. And so you realize that this is how dinosaurs also became extinct. Well, I said all these things to you because I want you to realize that the Bible has the answers to the questions about creation, about dinosaurs. They're not something that the Bible is ignorant of. Men are ignorant of some things. And there's a bigger question that you have to ask yourself. And that is that you better not be ignorant that God created this world, and therefore it's all for His purpose. And His purpose, and in His purpose, it is to have a continued fellowship, an everlasting fellowship with man that He created. Man sinned and turned away from God, but God provided salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could again have everlasting life. But man looks back at creation and says, no, God didn't really create this world because it just doesn't meet our scientific understanding of things. But they're ignorant of not only God creating, they're ignorant of the flood that changed a lot of things that we're looking at. And if you look at those things with those two things in mind, the flood and creation, you'd realize that would answer a lot of scientific questions that you have. But it also would tell you this, that there's another judgment coming. Because if God did destroy the earth and mankind who rebelled against Him in the days of the flood, how dangerous it is in the days in which we live to start ignoring the fact that there is a God who created the earth, that there is a God who said He's coming back someday and He's going to restore all things and He's going to bring it all back to paradise and bring man into His original intent and purpose to dwell with Him forever and to appreciate His glory and His goodness. That men in rebellion, like they were judged at the flood, are going to be judged again at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And everyone who has rejected Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's payment of sin, will be cast into outer darkness and separated from the glory of God.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.